Blog Talk Radio.
John 16.
These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, Whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, What is this that he saith unto us, A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father? They said therefore, What is this that he saith, A little while? We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again I leave the world, and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Amen, amen. Welcome. This is Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. I'd like to welcome you to the program this morning. It is May the 9th, 2020, Saturday morning, 8:30 a.m. We're on a little early this morning. We had a special time. We had to shift. We just had to shift some times. Hopefully, Those of you who called in at 646-668-2636, you can press 1 on your keypad to join the conversation. Those of you listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/DeaconThomasBarr, we'd like to welcome you also. And today, we just want to encourage the saints, encourage the brothers out there, encourage and just give a word of encouragement today and talk a little theology. We don't talk about the judgment seat or the bema seat, but I just wanted to encourage us on where we are in this walk and how we want to stand before Christ. There's a lot of things going on in the world today and in the culture, but I just wanted to remind the brethren out there that are listening to remember that all that we live and all that we do in this life, we will stand before God. We will stand before Jesus Christ at his judgment seat. The judgment, the bema seat is for the saints, but we have to consider how are we spending our lives? Are we living a life to glorify him and to advance his kingdom? So each of us must search ourselves, look in the mirror, look at who we are, what we're doing, and the things that may hinder us from hearing well done, that we might receive the rewards that are promised to the believer. Amen. So just to be clear, we understand the bema seat is not a seat of judgment. It is not a seat of judgment. That's the white throne judgment, and that's another teaching. But the bema seat is the seat, is where we stand before Christ, and he's going to judge our lives. He's going to examine our lives. You know, a lot of folk like to say that, you know, God knows my heart, even when we usually say that when we're doing things wrong or we don't want to do what God is calling us to do. And we want to tell others that God knows our heart. The truth of the matter is he does know our heart, and he will judge our heart in those things of what he's called us to do. Remember, I always say here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, God has a plan and purpose for every man, every woman, every child, every saint of God, every believer, from the pastor down to the newest convert, to even for the young person who comes into faith and truly believes in their heart that God has a purpose and plan for them to fulfill his calling and his commands. So today I just wanted to encourage the body of Christ, encourage the brothers out there. As husbands, we are going to be called and judged in how we husband our wives, how we treat our wives, what have we done to sow into our marriages and help our marriages to grow, to give our wives the confidence and secure in the marriage relationship. As men, as husbands, as we lead our wives in her spiritual growth, have we prayed for her? Have we prayed protection over her? Have we guided her and discipled her in the things of God? And within the marriage, as have we made our homes godly homes? Have we led in our homes? Or have we neglected it or turned over leadership roles and responsibilities to our wives and been passive husbands? Because remember, everyone likes to call out what Adam did, but you got to understand, a lot of us are living that same sin that Adam did. He did not disciple his wife. He did not cover his wife. And how many of us today are not doing that? We want to justify it. We don't want to look at, we don't want to deal with it, but we don't. We are not covering our wives. We're not leading our wives. Now, I won't say that, you know, whatever your relationship is, but understand God's going to hold you accountable for your marriage, accountable for your home, even as husbands and fathers. He's going to hold men accountable. So I just want to encourage you today, will you stand before the bema seat, and will God look at your entire marriage and your marriage relationship with your wife, and how will he judge that? The intents of your hearts, the things you've said, the things you've done, things you have not repented from, the things that you've done that were not pleasing to him, you know, but that's just something we have to understand. And that's why we want to encourage you now to examine yourself, because today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of repentance. Today can be the day when you turn that thing around in your marriage. So again, the bema seat, as how will you stand before him? And some of the things that rob us, because remember, the bema seat is the seat of rewards, where Christ is going to examine our total Christian life. Again, this is where the believer will stand before Christ and be judged for all of his life, his past and his total life. You know, I remember that when I first got saved, and the first pastor told, you know, God's not going to judge you on a moment. He's going to judge you on your pattern of life. And if you have a pattern of sin in your life, you have to ask yourself, were you truly repentant? Were you truly saved? Did you have a saving faith, a faith that drew you closer to him, to be obedient to him? And that saving faith and that walk is not necessarily going to be perfect. It probably won't be perfect in this flesh. But do we have a pattern of life? Do we have a pattern of repentance? Do we have a pattern where we learn from our trials and our failures and our mistakes? Do we repent? Do we get up? Do we go back to God asking for forgiveness? Are we honoring to him? Are we living lives that can honor him? Are we fulfilling the purpose and plan he created us for? Do we even know? Do we spend time in his word trying to seek his direction and will for our life? You know, I learned a long time ago, people want to know what the will of your life is. I say to you, look and read the scripture and understand, because the word of God is instruction. I don't care. It's not necessarily what someone can pray over you, anoint you for, prophesy into your life. The word of God. If you follow, fulfill, and have a knowledge of his word, you'll have a knowledge of him. This is why the Bible, this is why scripture is here for us as individuals, because this is what he's going to judge us by. It is the yardstick. It is the blueprint. It is the chalk mark. How we're going to be measured is by his word, the commands he's given us. So we have to understand there's going to be a lot. There's going to be things that's going to hinder us from the rewards we will receive from him. Some of it is our indifference in this life will rob us from the present, you know, rob us from our present desires to serving the Lord. Well, how are we serving the Lord? What are our good works? What are we being faithful to? What are we being faithful to the call? We're part of ministries. We're part of churches. We have pastors, you know, who are leading us. Are we faithful to serve under those ministries, under those missions, under those visions that God has given the man of God to come? Where are we as men in the body of Christ? And have we set the desire to serve the Lord through our families? Again, I go back to husbands and fathers. Do we know what it means to be a godly man, a godly husband, a godly father? Not the father that your father may have been or may have not been, or who they were called to do or the things they went through, but what is God calling each of us to be as husbands? Because there's a lot of things we go through in life that add to who we are and help build who we are. Ultimately, it is our choice. And as men of God, if we did not have good examples or godly examples, we have the word of God for an example. And God also puts other men in our lives that we can lean from and grow from and gain the knowledge that we may not have gotten before for the greater understanding. This is why I always say the importance of being part of a fellowship, part of a ministry, that we cannot be long-range of Christians, especially as men, because our pride arises up in us and think that we have it all together, that we are right, and that no one can tell us anything. But when we have surrounded ourselves by godly men, men who know the word, men who are living lives that are pleasing to him, and we can learn and glean from them. This is why we are called to hold each other accountable. And this is what we'll talk about here at Issues Christian Men's Talk and at Man Up, some of our gathering events, is to encourage the brothers to put people in your life that is going to guide and direct you unto godliness. The disciples had each other. Jesus mentored them for 3 years before he sent them out. We have the Holy Spirit living within us. It is a true mark of our salvation, that we are guided and directed by the Holy Spirit that controls our choices, that will speak to us, that will guide us when the times of testing come and the times of trial come and the times of repentance. So what do we struggle with? We struggle with sin and indifference, that we lose that. And that struggle with sin and indifference, that results in the loss of power in our lives, because sin grieves the Holy Spirit. Our indifference grieves the Holy Spirit. We may read the word, we may be doing devotionals, we may go into Bible study, but if the word is not being applied, the word is not being heard, and we're not becoming doers of the word, we're grieving the Holy Spirit in our life, and we're not fulfilling God's purpose and plan. He grieves for us. He grieves for us. Stand before him at the bema seat, and God Christ will be disappointed in us and what we have called to do. We've called to abide in him. And sometimes our unfaithfulness hinders our blessings here on earth and in eternity. A sin and indifference. That's the way. If anything else today, I want you to do every man to search themselves. You know, we always say the things that we talk about and teach about, that they first have to work on us before we can share and encourage our brother. So I say today, you know, I examine myself in some areas for sin, the disobedience to God, and then my indifference of things I know I could have done and should have done but didn't do. didn't think they were, you know, it was me or was my call. You know, we get stuck in that a lot of times. It's not my calling. It's not my gift. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do all things. If we say we can do all things, that means all things that we can do through the power of the Holy Spirit, that God will use us for a season, for opportunity. You would all be seeking to be prepared to be in those opportunities, to be used by Him in a given time or season, or we just want to stay in our comfort zone. That can be sin. Disobedient, remember, sin is a disobedient to God's purpose and call. Disobedience, missing the target of what God called us to be and do in a season of our lives. So I want to encourage you today. Where is your faithfulness? You know, it recently came up with a thing. I was talking to a pastor and some other leaders in the church about men serving and being available. Really, it's about making yourself available to serve. If you know what your church is doing, if your church is doing whatever ministry, any kind of outreach ministry, right now during this, pandemic and what's going on, people are out of work. There's a lot of food giveaway programs. There's a lot of other ministries to the homeless. Are we as men, are we participating? Are we showing? Are we making ourselves available for these things? You know, because there's a need. There's a need, especially a need now, but there's always been a need. You know, I encourage every man out there who's listening today that you call your pastor, ask your pastor, what does he need? He's waiting for you to step up. He's waiting for the men in his ministry to step up and step up beyond the norm, beyond their comfort zone, beyond what they've been doing. Stretch ourselves. Remember, Jesus chose 12 men. These men were not of the church. They were not the Sadducees, the Pharisees. They were not of the tribe the tribe of Judah, the tribe of, of Aaron. They were called out. They were of the classes. They were called uneducated. They were rebel rousers. They were men of ordinary men that God called and used. And some of us that are to be called all ordinary men that God wants to use for a season. But we have to understand it and recognize that we are dead. It's not who we were born to or where we come from is where God's going to use us now. Once we come to faith, we're renewed in our mind. We're new creatures in Christ. We have a new heart. And we see the world and we see people differently. And God chooses to use us in that role and in that place. So I just want to encourage everyone, every brother out there that's listening, you know, start to find the thing that causes you, that you would not miss opportunities to serve, that you would otherwise, the things that you wouldn't do that you would otherwise not do. Because there's a plan, and there's always opportunity to be able to give or live a life that God, that someone can see, that you could, they can see your good works, that you can live a life before them. You have godly conversations that, you know, because we never know what God is doing in other people's lives, and they're just watching us. You know, we hear that a lot. Sometimes a cliche that we'll be the only Bible that some people see. But for some of that, some people need to see something different and wonder why you don't do what others are doing or you don't respond the same way. Or why are we doing it? Because, again, you know, that's where we have to be able to communicate and be able to share the gospel, even in our good works. Because a lot of people do a lot of good things that help people. But what is the motivation of their heart? And sometimes we have to be able to communicate. What motivates me to do this? What motivates me to do that? What motivates me to share, to go out, do outreach to the homeless? What motivates me to spend time visiting the sick and the shut-in? Is it to please God, to be His hands and feet, to be able to bring the love of Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ to someone, to encourage someone, a believer, in what they're going through and what their struggles are? And we have to, again, this is what we have to do as men, as husbands and fathers, to be able to encourage. What example are we setting for our children, even in the midst of trials and tests and turmoil? Are we bringing the order to the chaos? Are we still having joy? Can we encourage them even in their falling downs, even in their challenges? As a father, how do we uplift and protect our children in the spiritual realm and in the natural realm and in the emotional realm? How do we help our children get overcome these burdens and things that come into their lives? Are we a father? I know it's one thing I always say, that a father is a lifetime assignment and it's a lifetime job. It's not over when your child reaches 18. It's just a different type of fathering, a different opportunity a different reason. So again, I just wanted to encourage brothers here today. I wanted to spend some time and just put a word of encouragement for someone out there who might be going through, who might be struggling with this pandemic, and their lives has been turned upside down. But just know that God loves you. God is in control of all these things, and that we are called to that we are going to be called to stand before Him in these times of testing. Because it's easy to say we love God, we believe God when things are going well, but when we are tested, when the trials come, when the tribulations come, how do we respond? How do we encourage others? And how will we stand before Him when God asks us and judges us? Because with God, if we stand before a demon seat and Jesus says, "Why didn't you?" what will be your answer? Will you be your answer, "You didn't know, my pastor didn't ask me, that wasn't my gift"? Do we really think we're going to stand before Christ and give those excuses that we give today? We give man today. And that's the thing we have to be as husbands and fathers. The excuses that we give all those around us for why we're not doing a certain thing or sacrificing or giving of ourselves or sacrificing our time, will we give Jesus that same excuse? We think we just be giving it to man, but God can use men to come to us to get us to stretch us outside my comfort zone, outside of what we think our call and purpose is, because sometimes we get caught up in who we think we are and doing those things that we feel comfortable doing. But God wants to call us beyond that. He wants to stretch us beyond that. And we have to understand that it's how God's going to use us. But are we available and are we willing to stand and are we willing to go the extra mile to serve someone else, the least of these? Amen? Amen. So again, I just wanted to share with you today, how would you stand before the judgment seat of Christ? Remember, it does not determine our salvation, but it does determine our sacrifice on behalf of God, our faith in Him. Understand all of our sins have been forgiven and will never be condemned of our sins at the Bema seat, but you shall look again at the judgment seat and judge us, rather what rewards we receive because of the life we live. We will be held accountable. We will be held accountable for ourselves. How do we hold others accountable? Again, as husbands, how do we hold our wives accountable? Do we disciple them, love them as Christ loved the church? The accountability of our children, how we raise our children. Do we give them the word? Do they understand the word? Because again, our children will make their own choices, but however, have we been an example for them to see? Have we prepared them to know that Christ is there for them, that they can pray, that their prayers will be answered, that their faith is in Christ and understand that everything works together for their good, no matter when may not go their way, but they will not give up. And know that they can come to Christ, repent from mistakes and failures, and yet come back to God. Amen? So some of the things that we can be judged on and be obedient is the Great Commission. It's one of those things that right now in this season, are we discipling? Are we reaching others with the gospel of Jesus Christ? That we're telling them about eternal life, about salvation, even in the midst of death, even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of them maybe losing family members or friends. Are we sharing the truth of the gospel? Are we sharing the understanding of eternal life? That the life here on this earth is just the beginning. It's not the end when you leave here. It's a transition. This is what we believe as Christians. This we believe as Bible-believing Christians, at the resurrection, that eternal life in the presence of God through faith in Jesus Christ, that we can be with Him in eternity. Are we sharing that in the midst of these times and testing? Amen. Are we living lives also, are we victorious over the sins that we're being challenged with? Are we victorious in those things, the things that where we came from? Are we different? Are we growing in our faith? These are the things that God is going to hold us at the Bema seat. Have we controlled our tongues? Do we speak different? Do we think different? It's not so much what we say out of our mouth, but what we think in our heart. You know, and where are we at? And are we struggling with? And are we overcome some things? The difference is, are we faithful to Christ in these things? That we will stand before Him. You know, and I just wanted to encourage, take some time out and encourage it. There's a lot of things going on, a lot of things that we're being tested in and areas we're being tested in. But I just want to encourage the brethren out there to continue to press into the word, continue to pray, continue to believe God, continue to seek God, continue to be there for your families. I just ask that you would continue to be there for your families, for your friends, for your churches. Again, I encourage every man out there, reach out to your pastors, reach out to your leaders. You know, there's a time now where men, we have to be able to stand up and just step up in some of the things of ministry. Even after this thing here in America and in this Western culture, the church is going to look a lot different. I'm telling you, it's going to be a lot different after this pandemic, because right now ministries are being tested. We can't come together out of their normal comfort zones, and we'll see what happens on the other side, because maybe the church needs to get outside the four walls and get back into the community, get back out into the streets, you know, and get engage the lost, engage the unbeliever, engage those in their faith, help people to grow, show people how to be disciple folk, minister to folk, how to serve others who have least in you, or to just help grow one another. So I just want to encourage you with that. Amen. Amen. If you called in at 646-668-2636, you press 1 on your keypad. We can bring you into the conversation. For those who are listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/DeaconThomasFarr, thank you for joining us. You can always reach out to us on Facebook at Issues Christian Men's Issues Men's Talk. And we're also posting a lot of men's events. People are putting together a lot of men's discussion panels and Zoom meetings. So if you want to encourage and reach out to take this opportunity to connect with other brothers in other places, people are really sewing into the Zoom and conferences that we can encourage one another and discuss some of the issues that are affecting our lives as husbands, fathers, and sons. Amen. Let me go to the switchboard real quick. We have a couple people here who want to, I guess, ask a question and share. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Your last four numbers are 0481. Good morning.
Greetings in the name of the Father. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, hello? Sir, I can hear you. Praise God. Yes, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Greetings in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is Pastor Don Jr., CEO. I'm just amazed at how hard you go. You know, a lot of times people get to 99, and they right there at the door of success, and they don't want to take that step to 100. And success comes failure. The only way you can be successful is if you fail first. Nobody just wakes up and they just instantly are successful. You have to go through the process. Gold is not made without fire. And if you take the olive oil that we use to anoint heads when we're doing the preaching, that press to make the olive oil, that's why olive oil is more expensive. You know, it's a longer process. I say that to say, brothers, stay in the field. You're doing a great work. Not too many people can get up and do this every day, but you walk it like you talk it. So I'm proud of you. I'm here to support. I'm Pastor Don, your CEO.
Amen, brother. Thank you very much for calling and sharing that with me. And I thank you as you continue to pray for me and pray for the brothers out there, all those brothers in your circle of influence, those men that we know who may be struggling, who are just, and they're on the front lines, because, you know, being a husband and a father is not an easy task. This is why some people neglect that thing and run away from it. But we have to press in, because we need it. We need it in the families. We need it in the communities. And we need it in the body of Christ. So I thank you for that. Amen?
Amen. 100%. No, I'm out at the construction site, man, and I didn't want none of the feedback to distract the people on the show. And I got to say this real quick before I go. This is a day, my day. Okay. I'm controlling what I can and release of that what I can't. I'll be confident in my words and in myself. Resilience will trump rejection. Faith will overcome frustration. For every yes, I've secured a victory. For every no, I plan to see. Every contact is a new opportunity, a new challenge, a moment of truth. Each of the moment I'm thankful for, I have become stronger. For I have become stronger. For I have become stronger. I am the voice of the sick, the hungry, the unborn, the homeless, the hurt. I'm an ambassador of humanity, inspired by those around me. Pray before all, I shall prevail. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Blessings. You got to call me back. This is a podcast. Blessings, but that's affirmation for your heart, for your soul, for your spirit. That's what I use as a jump start. Like when you on the side of the highway and your car broke down, the AAA come, but tow truck, is it clear? Bro. And then your car back rolled. We got to get back rolling, y'all. We've been on vacation for too long. This virus, this spirit of fear, shall live here no more. This day we walk in authority because God said he's in control. Man, I love you, brother. I'm here. I'm going to be here for the rest of the show. I can mute myself. If you close my line, ain't no problem. But I really like what you're saying, and I really appreciate somebody really diving into the word. Everybody talks about the word, but nobody breaks it down, and nobody is open to debate. And sometimes you're not going to agree because everybody has a different perspective. Everybody wrote four different books of the Gospel of Jesus because four people had to tell what Jesus did. But I'm moving out of the way, man. I'm not gonna stop you.
Amen. 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 Thank you, bro. I appreciate you, man. And you're right. You're right. And you said something there that tells me something else about perspective. You're right. We all see things differently, but that's why I say we have to, when we're led by the Holy Spirit, because God's going to use me one way, use my brother another way, and use every man a different way to accomplish his goal. Because, again, remember, God is sovereign. God knows it all. He sees it all. And, again, this pandemic, this virus, these sicknesses, this is not new for God. This is not a surprise to God. But it's about our perspective. Again, sometimes we have to see the suffering of others as opportunities for him to be glorified and for us to be used as the church. We are the church. We have to start to be the church. We can't, you know, like our brother was saying, we can't get caught up in the fear and anxiety. We have to step up to the task and to the assignment. There's a lot of things going on here. There's a lot of opportunities to reach a lot of people, to bring comfort to those who are sick, comfort to those who are anxious and fearful. But we can't be fearful and anxious and have anxiety and try and comfort those. We have to be secure in what we believe and who our God is and understand, you know, it's a church. This is what the church was. This is why Christ died, for such a time as this. Because, it's again, these sicknesses that we have, these pandemics and epidemics, if we look at history of the world, that's the other thing. We can't just look at this time and think it's something special. These things have happened before. There's been other times when sicknesses spread and diseases spread. I believe a couple of years ago in Africa, it was Ebola. And other times that we had swine flu and SARS and Nile virus and all these other things. You know, and again, this is not a thing that we should fear about, you know. And I talked about in a previous show, if you look at our archive, we talked about how Christians respond to death. Everyone is destined to die. There's going to be a natural death. But how are we going to respond? How are we going to encourage those? How are we going to comfort those? You know, we talk about how many people have died from this pandemic so far. But if we take a step back and look at how many people died last year from other diseases that we still don't have a cure for, just because it wasn't as contagious or spread from person to person, all the things that we concern ourselves and get upset about. But look at the death rates before. Look at the death rates from the violence in our community. So there's a lot of things that we can't really get, we should not get caught up. But again, if we're on solid ground, if we're on solid footing, if we know that God is in control, we know who Christ Jesus is, and understand why God put us here and why he created us and the purpose we have for our life, we'll be able to endure these things. Because, again, as the saints, as the church, we are called to persevere through all this. If we look at Peter, we look at what Peter wrote in 1 and 2 Peter about enduring all things. Well, Paul wrote to the Philippians about they can do all things through Christ. We have to start to make the word of God more than cliche. It has to start to be the direction and commands of our life. And this is how we live, and this is what we believe, even in the midst. So, again, when we talk today, when we're talking about what we're going to do at the judgment seat, these are the things that God is going to look at us. How were we as evangelism? How were we in obedience to God, in his call, in the different things of how faithful were we to Christ in the times of testing, in the times when the things that go our way, what we thought we would, while we thought how things should be, but what does the word say about those things and how we ought to respond? as men, as husbands, fathers, and sons. So I just wanted to continue to reach and to encourage the brothers out there, and just press in the purposes of God, and know who you are in Christ. Know what you believe, why you believe it, and continue to be obedient to Him. Amen. So let me just share a couple more things when I'm talking about the bema seat, because again, we have to be faithful to what God has called, because we're going to, again, what excuse, well, there will be no excuse, but what excuse we think that we give man today on why we're not obeying God and what we're going to stand before Him and be judged by, again, the entirety of our life. Do we want to stand and be in our unfaithfulness and be a disappointment to Christ and the consequences of unfaithfulness here on earth when we stand before Him in the bema seat? Okay? And remember, the bema seat, you're saved. The bema seat is for the believer, okay? The bema seat is for those who put their faith in Jesus Christ and His sacrificial death. He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He was crucified, and His blood was shed for us. And on the third day, God rose Him up as a sign of His acceptance sacrifice for the payment of the sins of Adam. Don't worry about your sins. It's the sin of Adam. It's why we're convicted. But Christ paid the price through His blood, and His resurrection is proof that God the Father accepted that payment. So now we are in Christ. And when we stand before the bema seat, we're standing there by, were we faithful to what God called each of us to do? Each of us were called for different purposes, different places, different times, different seasons. The saints of old, the saints in the generation to come, and us here in this present is the reason why. That's why I say, being part of a ministry, part of churches, part of a community of believers, God can use us all and bring all of our gifts and talents to bear for His glory. And are we there? That's the other thing we have to see as men of God. I say again, as men of God, are we stepping up in our local ministries? Your ministry might be big. Your ministry might be small. And I found out for myself, it really doesn't matter if you have 2,200 or 100 or 50. There's only a small percentage of those in that ministry who labor in the things that ministry is called to do. Just think about that. If you have a 2,000-member church and only 200 people are living and fulfilling the vision and the purpose and the plan of that church, or why God created that ministry, from 2,000 out of 2,200, out of 120, out of 55, and are you part of that? Because remember, Jesus preached to 5,000, He fed 5,000, and with the 5,000 men, and He preached and preached. But when it was time, because it was Hosanna, Hosanna, and a week later, the same crowd was calling for His crucifixion. So where are you? Where are we? And where are we as men? And again, husbands and fathers, because all ministry starts in our home. Where our faith is most needing to be seen is in our family life, in our homes with our children and our wives. And then that we carry that on into the church as a community of believers, and then into the communities. Now we, the church, becomes an example. And we have to be mindful of that. It's not for the pastor to do it all. The pastor is called the shepherd and the spiritual leader and disciple and grow people to maturity. And as men of God, we all know what it is. No matter where we are in our lives, we understand we were once a boy, but now we are man. And we became a man. We put away some of our childish things. We do that in the spiritual realm and in the natural. Hopefully, in the natural, some brothers still struggle with childish things. Why? Because they're still doing what they want to do, self-gratification, chasing little girls. When you're a boy, you're still chasing girls. You're a full-grown man, but you didn't put away those childish things. But again, this is what we are called to do and the kind of men we're called to be. Amen? Amen. You've been listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk, and I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. I'm here every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8 p.m. on Saturday morning. Our normal time is 9 a.m., but today we came on a little bit early for a special time. Had to do some shifts, had some commitments. But I just wanted to come on, give a word of encouragement
to the brothers out there again, the Bema Seat Judgment. Consider when you stand before God and he examines your whole entire life, what rewards will you receive? Will you be pleasing to him? Or will he be, would he be disappointed in you? Again, the Bema Seat is for the believer. But what is it so much that you could have done but you did not do? Again, because of your indifference. Your indifference where you pass up opportunities to serve. Your indifference is result in loss, the loss of the power in your life. Maybe you're still struggling with little sins in your life, the little foxes, because your indifference, your inconsistency, and you struggle in your life with other things, no matter what it can be. And remember, your indifference is robbing you of that desire. You have a desire, but your inconsistencies make you say, well, I really can't do that. I really can't do this because I'm indifferent about it. I'm really not looking to please God. I'm not looking to live a life obedient to him. And why? I couldn't say. But for myself, it was me being back in the Word, starting to realize the Word, starting to live the Word, starting to apply the Word of God, you know, to apply the Word of God, to be more than just a hearer and a quoter and memorizer, but be an applier, be a doer of the Word and apply the Word of God to our life. Because all the answers you need in every part of your life is in the Word. And pray. And put people around you who are going to encourage you, going to lift you up, hold you accountable, and help you mature into the full, and mature into the full man that God has called you to be. Remember, Jesus said he was with the disciples for 3 years. 3 years he was with them, teaching them the parables, taking them out, watching them. He told them things. He was telling them things they wasn't even paying attention because he told them he was going to die. He told them that he was going to be sacrificed, but they didn't hear it until it came back to their remembrance. And then the coming of the Holy Spirit filled them and sent those same men who ran out of the Garden of Gethsemane, who ran, except for Peter, he pulled the knife, but the rest ran. But then when the Holy Spirit came, those same men were restored in their place, in their purpose. So I pray today for you, brothers. Let the Holy Spirit guide and direct you and put you back into your place where you'll stand on the front line, live a life that's in defense of the gospel, sharing the gospel, and showing what it looks like to be a man of God. Amen? Amen. Well, I thank all of you who have listened, all of you who have listened today and came on a little early to be part of the program. Again, I just wanted to stir something up in you and plant a seed that make you consider, that would encourage you, consider you for this week. Again, you can reach out to us at Issues Christian Men's Talk on our Facebook page. You can reach out to us on Issues Men's Talk at Twitter. And just continue and be blessed in the things of God. Continue to just pray for your families. Pray for the sick and the shut-in. Pray for those people who are laboring in the hospitals, all the way from the doctors, the nurses, all the way down to the housekeeper. They have to go into these sick rooms and clean them, and the working in the cafeterias, preparing the food for the patients and for the employees. There's a lot. There's a lot for the hospital. There's a lot that's going on. And just pray. And pray for each other. And let me say this in closing. If you're part of a local ministry, reach out to your brother and sister. If anything, reach out to the people who sit on your pew and make sure everything is well. If they have food, they have whatever, toilet paper, whatever they need. Encourage one another. Pick up the phone. Hear their voices. Talk to them, you know, and just encourage the body of Christ and just be able to reach out. Check on your brothers. A lot of people are out of work. Everybody's stimulus check is not going to last forever. It feels good when you get it, but it's going to get spent. So what are we going to do after that? As the body of Christ, we should be able to be a stimulus check for each other in the spirit and in the natural. If you have, your brother should not need. Amen? Well, God bless you and continue to focus on Christ and be used by him. Amen?